Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, turn your Bibles tonight to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2, we're going to look at one verse, verse 3. And it's a statement that, in a sense, happens there. It's a powerful statement. There's a lot said in it. It's God talking to his people, and it's a powerful statement, I'll just tell you that. And it applies to our lives, all of us. Though God's talking to the Israelites at that point, it hits every single one of us. Tonight's message is titled, You Have Toiled Long Enough. And the message tonight, it will say a little different in some of your versions, but I really like the word toiled, because it just really speaks to me in a sense. Some versions, I know the Holman Christian Standard version says you've been traveling. There's a lot of different words that it uses, but what tonight's message deals with, brothers and sisters, is these things that we continue to either do, are a part of, attitudes or actions we continue to hang on that are hanging up our lives. They are causing us to be in a place that we can't get past. And I hope you found that tonight. We're going to go ahead and get into it again for time's sake. I wish we had longer, but we're going to go ahead. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3. If you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. I'm going to go up to verse 2. Then the Lord said to me, you've been traveling around this hill country long enough. Turn north. Father God, I thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. God, I thank you, Lord, that it is life, that it's truth. God, that is a truth that's unchanging. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father, as you are. It's rooted in your character and the person of who you are. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that your spirit would have full and free reign in this place. God, work in our hearts, encourage us, challenge us, rebuke us, Father, whatever it is that needs to be done so that we will leave here in the middle of your plan and your will for our lives. God, may you alone be lifted up, glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So what's going on at this point is the Israelites had been toiling this mountain. They'd been basically going around the mountain and they were doing a whole lot of nothing. And what God was basically saying is, enough's enough. You have toiled this mountain. You have traversed this. You've done it long enough. You've been traveling around this hill country long enough. It's time to move on. How many of us can relate to that? There's a series called 60 Days In, if you've ever heard of it. And it's a series about them going and putting participants in jail for 60 days undercover to try to help expose the weaknesses in the prison or the jails and help expose where drugs are coming in and just the weaknesses in it. Well, there was a participant in this last series who, she had food allergies and things. I don't know why in the world this woman ever, she's a social worker, I think, in her normal life, but I don't know why she ever signed up for a series like this, because I'm going to tell you one thing. When you go to jail, friends, it is not, well, it shouldn't be a Hilton. Unless you're in federal penitentiary, then you might as well, you've hit the lottery. Don't do any crime, but if you do, make sure it's federal. No, don't do that. You don't need to do that. But what I'm saying is your state systems are not any good. Your county systems are even bad. They always talk about, what is it, 7-something or other up here, Rutherford County is called? 940. There you go. Trevor? Eddie, can we do the invitation? Come on up here, Trevor. We need to talk. No. 940. Hey, they can't stand that jail. People hate it. They're going to go to jail. They'd rather go to any other jail than that jail. But this woman goes to this jail, and she starts grumbling from day one about the food. I can't eat anything. She's got all these different things she's mentioned. I think she left this past week. And she's almost to the 60 days. She complained the entire time. She toiled her food allergies day and night and complained and whined and moaned. The jailers and the other participants had had all they could take of her. You know what I'm talking about now when I'm talking about things that we continue to toil around a mountain. We continue to fight a battle instead of letting God take it over. Or we're toiling around a marriage issue, right? Or a friendship issue, or a faithfulness issue, or a conviction, or an addiction. And we continue to toil with it instead of saying, God, it's time to move on. The only point tonight, there'll be some subpoints to it, but it's a question tonight. What have you continued to do and act, hold on to, or refuse to let go tonight? I know people, brothers and sisters, in my lifetime that have been holding on to bitterness or anger or dissension or they raised a certain way, so they feel like they're entitled to be angry at a certain population because of whatever. And I've dealt with people my whole life like this. See, I could sit and make myself a victim of being in private schools because my dad was usually a teacher or a pastor, so I was able to go to private schools. And when he was teaching, I was able to go to private schools that were for rich kids. Well, when you're a broke kid and your father makes $11,500 a year, when you have seven people in your house and you go to rich school, guess what? You're not part of the rich kids. You're actually tormented. And that's what happened to me. I was laughed at. I remember my mother bought me a brand new pair of shoes. This is not a lie. And I threw them in a dumpster because I was tormented so horrifically that I got my ones that were falling apart out and would rather wear those because I was not tormented for them. That's why I cannot stand a bully, y'all. And I'm not even joking. It even now at my age, it gets me very angry when I see someone victimizing someone else. I actually get, honestly, and almost in an ungodly sense of anger, because it reminds me of what happened to me growing up. But see, I could say now, you know, I can do this now because why? I was hurt as a child, and I'm going to hurt everybody around me. I'm going to be like a snake in a box, and you get near me, I'm going to bite you, and I'm going to make you pay. Why? Because I was hurt as a child, and it's time for me to make others hurt. Or people who were hurt in their childhood by people, and I don't even have to go into details about what I'm talking about, but we have reasons to then get out and we want to hurt others. Why? Because I was hurt as a child. I had an overbearing mother or domineering father, an alcoholic father, alcoholic mother, drug addicted, whatever. And I want everybody around me to suffer because I went through it, and everybody ought to know I'm a victim of my circumstances. Well, I want to tell you one thing. If that's you, shame on you. If that's me, shame on me. Because I want to tell you one thing. When we came to faith in Jesus Christ, we victimized him. We killed him. Do you realize that you and I pick up the hammer and the whips and we beat and kill Christ when we come to saving faith in him? Because then we take part in his death. By the way, if you say, no, I didn't, I wouldn't do that, then you have no part in his life. Amen? You either take part in Jesus Christ's death and understand that and recognize that and see that as something that's sacred and precious, or you have no part in it. Sometimes we want salvation separate from the belief that we made Jesus suffer. There is no such thing. He suffered for us. He died for us. And therefore, as Christ has buried our sin, how dare we hold on to things and allow these actions and attitudes to rob us of who Jesus Christ died so that we might become? My dad, this, my mom, no. What about Jesus? And what about the forgiveness? And what about the ability to allow God to heal you supernaturally? What about going through Bondage Breaker series and breaking these generational issues so that you're allowed to use those things then as amazing rock of remembrances from what God has brought you from and where he has brought you to? I think a lot of times we find comfort in holding on to things that we should not. Anger or frustration or resentment that is actually killing us, because you remember that anger and resentment and hatred is nothing more than drinking poison expecting someone else to die. It's what it is. And think about the lunacy in that. But yet we fall victim to it all the time. I'm going to make them suffer. I'm going to make them hurt. Really. By the way, a lot of the times the person doesn't even know what they did in the first place. But what about looking at it through the eyes of Christ and the unconditional forgiveness that Jesus Christ gave us for a debt that we could never pay? What have you continued to do tonight, brother and sister? The way you act, you hold on to. What have you refused to let go tonight? See, the first sub-point there under that, I titled A, but whatever you want to do. Change comes when we are obedient to move on. Not when the other person apologizes, or your wife gets right, or your husband gets right, or your kids get right, or your church gets right, or your pastor gets right, or your Sunday school teacher gets right, or your boss gets right, or you get the right job, or you get the right retirement, or you get the right paycheck. No, none of those should be the catalyst for getting things right in your life tonight. You should do it because you're a regenerate follower of Jesus Christ that's been saved by the grace and the mercy of the living God of creation, and it demands that you and I put all this garbage aside and say, you know what? I have nothing to complain about, nothing to be bitter or angry about, because Jesus loves me and he saved me. Now listen, sub-point B. Ready for this? A powerless Christian is one that will not let go of sin. Now, if you're in here, I got a question. We got two camps. Do you want the abundant, Holy Spirit, power-filled life as a follower of Jesus Christ, living in obedience, seeing the miraculous work of God and his hand in your life? Or do you want to hold on to these little subsets of our life and bitterness and anger and resentment and childhood hurts and traumas, and in return, live a powerless existence as a Christian? Tell me. If you'd say this when I'd say you've lost your mind, don't even mess around with church, God, or anything, go and pray that God breaks you. But I would pretty much say that every person in here was looking at this hand going, that's what I want. See, go back to A. Change comes when we are obedient to move on. Don't ever wait for that person to apologize to you, to tell you that they wronged you and they are sorry, because I promise you, most often it won't happen. Most often it's not going to happen. I want to tell you, you know why? If anything, because the enemy, through your sin, is going to make sure that you stay in that place of obedience and die in it, for that matter, and never know what it is to live the abundant life as a follower of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you one day passing on a beautiful blessing to your children as you're on a deathbed, if you get that privilege one day, as you're able to sit next to your sons and daughters and then do what the Bible talks about and passing on a blessing and telling them, son or daughter, it's been such an honor to be your father, to be your mother. Thank you for the compassion you have, or whatever. I don't care if the only thing they ever did is smelled good. You might have a wretched child, and the only thing you can do is go, you know something? You sure as heck knew how to pick out cologne or perfume. You're still able to say something to them to try to help. I hope you could dig in a little deeper, you know what I mean? You're a good driver in your car. If they don't have whatever. And by the way, my desire is that you would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ if they're lost. And I'm praying right now, ready for this? You got them at that point, by the way, when you're dying. They're going to listen. I pray that God pursues you until the very breath in your body leaves. I pray you don't, you ready? You're holding on to him. I pray you don't have peace until you come to the place of peace through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They ain't going nowhere, by the way. And you keep squeezing them harder while you talk to them. You want to do that? Or do you want to get caught up in all this garbage right here and get mad and frustrated, and one day don't ever have that chance? Because you've burnt every bridge in your life. Because why? Well, your mama wasn't nice to you growing up. Your dad wasn't nice to you, or people hurt you. The Bible talks about forgiveness all the time. Jesus talks about forgiveness. As Christians, brother and sister, we got to stop tolling mountains. Whether it's forgiveness, whether it's anger, bitterness, resentment, whether it's just a hidden addiction that we don't want to let go of. Brothers and sisters, got to go. Do you know why? If you want the abundant, victorious life in Jesus Christ, you have got to let go what's hindering your ability to fellowship with God. And you've got to do it at all costs, because change only comes when we're obedient to move on. Powerless Christians are the ones that won't let go of sin. They're struggling, they're fighting in everything. There's no power in their walk, spiritually speaking. They're not able to be that rock spiritually for people. People see straight through the apathy and the indifference. They see through it, brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you that. And the sad part is, what are you modeling tonight in the people's lives around you? What is your apathetic lifestyle when instead of saying, you know, I need to be in my Bible, you're telling your friends at work or kids around you, well, I don't read my Bible either, so don't feel bad. Can you imagine? Might as well tie a millstone around your neck, by the way, and throw yourself in the ocean. Only time the Bible says to do it. You want to lead little ones astray? I'll tell you what, you do what the Bible says before you do that, because the Bible's explicit on that. I would challenge you to get a hold of it so that you don't have to do that. Amen? It's a whole lot smarter to recognize that every person in here, people are looking up to you. And you better realize that is a big time dangerous spot to be. Whether you and I want to believe it or not, it's all going to work out. You keep toying around with it and think it's a joke, and find out. It's serious business, church. How long are you going to toil that mountain? Have you not toiled it long enough? Are you tired of being the runt spiritually? Are you tired of continually starving spiritually? A little hit here and a little hit there. I read a Bible study. Are you tired of starving or not? Are you tired of misery? If you're not, then I would say there's something categorically wrong with you. Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you are living a life of disobedience, you are not happy. I know that for a fact. If you are and you are, then God's a liar. And I know one thing, there ain't nobody in here, including myself, that God's going to make himself a liar for. There's not one in here. God has not waited around 7,000 plus years to all of a sudden go, wow, I made my perfect creation. I'm going to become a liar because I wouldn't dare want to mess up what's got going on over there. No. God's not a liar, brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? And I thank the Lord that our eternity is secure because God cannot lie. And I'm not going to worry, and you aren't going to have to worry one day that all of a sudden the enemy's going to throw some temptation at God that he goes, oh, I've just been waiting for that. And then you and I, as we're sitting there gloriously in eternity, all of a sudden it's like, the record stops. And we go, oh, sorry, Satan's in control now. No, we don't have to worry about that. And I thank God for that. God cannot change. He will not change, and every covenantal promise that you and I have been given in his word will come to pass. And I praise God for that. Third, the point C I want to share with you tonight is this. The powerless Christian is one that minimizes their sin. Oh, well, I'm not like them, you know. I'm not doing that. I only do a little of this. And a little. I'm not like them or him or her. I shred everybody with my mouth and my talk about them, but I'm not like them. I'm not like that guy out there. He's got a needle in his arm, and no, I'm not like them. I'm just filleting them with my tongue, and they've got no way to defend themselves where the dope addict's just being who he is. Don't minimize your sin. I had a neat call yesterday from somebody who, many years ago, I was trying to explain, as I shared with you guys a week ago, 2 weeks ago, about how when I was in the bed and I was so sick that I felt the closest that I ever felt with the Lord. Well, this person I'd shared that with a number of years ago, and they were going through some financial trouble, and I just said, you know, it's awesome when you're living hand to mouth, because I said, that's my life. We live hand to mouth, and it's really awesome because you feel like Elijah in the wilderness with the ravens. And they said, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. They said, I've always had money, and I've always been able to do what I need to do, and I do not like that. I don't want to know that life. And I was kind of sad for them because I love this person dearly, and I just said, you know, you will never know the true faith of that time that you don't have anything. And if God doesn't come through, you're done. And you watch God's great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. That is what I challenge you to tonight. You not have what you need tonight to overcome what you're going through? Stop tolling the mountain. Stop. And this is what's so amazing about that, is it's so all-encompassing. It affects so many different things. Whether it's relational, whether it's you and your husband or wife that aren't connecting, it stops. When you don't let the sin of self continue to allow you and compel you to toil that mountain. Got a hard time following the leadership in your life? Hey, we serve a God that can give you the strength and the ability to do it. Don't like your boss. Don't like the people in your life that, and the government, whatever. Let me tell you what. Why don't you pray that God would give you the ability to yield yourself to the ones that he has commanded us to yield to. Or you just keep on doing the same thing and expect a different outcome, and that's the definition of insanity. Change comes when we're obedient to move on. It's recognizing that you've been toiling, that you've been in a vicinity too long. It's time to go. We can sit around all day long and make excuses for why we're not doing what we should do. But what about tonight? And in whatever area, again, it's so all-encompassing. Maybe your issue's control tonight. You know control freaks, right? That is, everything in their life, they've got to control it. When they can't control it, it makes them crazy. Do you realize that's sinful? Because you're not letting God be God. What about saying tonight, Lord, I know that being a controlling freak is sin. Lord, I want to be faithful and I want to do what I'm supposed to, but God, I do not want to control everything in my life. I don't want to control. I want you to be the God that guides me in everything. And God, tonight, ready? God, I confess the ungodly control tendencies in my life. God, forgive me from that. And tonight, God, let me begin to only go forward and take hold of those things that you want me to. Lord, don't let me control relationships because I'll control them out of my life. Hey, what about loving each other? God, I just have a hard time loving people. That's a good one to lay down. You know why? Because God commands us to. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And what? Love your neighbor. Second commandment, first and second. The second's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we're commanded to. Well, I have a hard time loving people. You better be really careful what you utter when you say that, because when you make that statement, what you're saying is, I'm a regenerate follower of Christ who lacks the ability to love. It's very difficult. Revert back to what? Heart. Lord, I've always had a lot, Lord. I've never had to live hand to mouth. God, teach me faith. What if that prayer was that God had to take you down to your tithing or to your, he had to pull things back? Are you willing to pray that? Lord, would I be crazy enough to pray that you might make me suffer financially so that I might learn a deeper walk with you? Could you pray that? Hey, you think I haven't already thought about this coronavirus and how this could affect even us here? What happens when they're shutting down and they start, you seen the streets in China? You seen the streets in some of our out in Washington State and things going on? Listen, detrimental effects financially in places could happen. You know what I know? God's bigger than that. It's okay. It's all going to work out. Amen? If it doesn't, praise God. He's got a new chapter he's going to open in whatever our life will look like after that. But if we sit around and we worry about it, what are we saying to God? God, I think that you are going to not do what you promised to do. Hence again, sin. Tonight, if that's your thing, fear, get down here on this altar, and I'm telling you, get your face down before God, and you lay it down and say, God, do not let fear continue to control me, control my life, control my family, control everything that I do. God, I know this is not of you. Lord, I know this is generational, will pass on, and Lord, I want it to stop tonight. I have toiled this mountain long enough. You know the road around it if you battle that. You know the battle around that mountain. You know the road. You can do it blindfolded if your fear is that thing for you. Is great as thy faithfulness your heart's cry? Or is it a song you like, but the reality of it is something that is something quite different? I would say again, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And I long for that day because I know when it says, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I them in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Joshua 24, brothers and sisters, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. Father, I thank you, God, for truth. Lord, I thank you tonight as this message was laid on my heart, God, about these things that we toil, these mountains that we toil, these attitudes and actions that we battle with, that we're toiling with. Father, I know tonight, Lord, your desire is to free us. Lord, free us from all of these things that hinder your ability to lead us, to guide us, Father, and to bring about a mighty work of you in our lives. God, I don't know why you had me preach this message tonight, but I know that there's a reason for it. Father, for the ones right now that are battling this, all of us, Lord, in one respect or another, are battling something. And this applies to all of us, God, but I know there's a reason for this tonight. God, I pray for those, Lord, that you've shaken to their very core tonight. They know who they are. They're the ones they know right now, God. They want that freedom so desperately. I pray during this invitation tonight, Lord, that ones would find that place of rest as they confess these areas and desire, Lord, tonight to get up free, cleansed, no longer going around this mountain that has defined who they are, even if only in their own heart. God, I pray you grow all of us equally tonight, Lord, in the truth of who you are and what your desire is for our life. God, I thank you for Jesus, Lord. I thank you for the Holy Spirit's power to convict us, lead us, to guide us, And I pray, Father, if there's one here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, Father, they don't know King Jesus as their Lord, their Master, I pray that during this invitation, Lord, they will not leave here, but will run to the life-giving blood, the sacrifice that was made. The price has been paid. And Lord, receive you as Lord and Savior. Confess their sin and know the forgiveness that's found in knowing you as our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We commit all this to you, and we ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.